For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It's March 7th, and we are in Malachim Beis. We're in Perek Tes Zion, chapter 16. And we are about to start the reign of Achaz. Achaz, we just finished with Yosam, the king of Yehuda, who was a big tzaddik. And now we have his son Achaz. Achaz is going to be a Rasha. Achaz also is the father of Chizkiyahu. The king Chizkiyahu was a famous king. Chizkiyahu almost became Mashiach. We'll learn about Chizkiyahu in great detail, Bezer Hashem, when we get there. But right now we have Achaz. Now the story of Achaz is lengthy. Even though it's going to be one chapter here in Malachim and one chapter in Divrei Hayamim, which I'll fill in for you, Bli Neder, but it is there's a lot going on. The reason why there's a lot going on with Achaz is because during his reign, a lot is happening in the northern kingdom in Yisrael, and we also have, for the first time, we mentioned him before once, but now he's really going to rear his ugly head, we're going to have Sanherib, the king of Ashur, who's going to hit the scene. And Sanherib, in and of himself, is a complex character. We're going to have a shir that is dedicated exclusively to Sanherib at some point. We're not ready for that, of course. But because you have those things happening at the same time as Achaz being king, therefore Achaz's reign is lengthy. So we're going to start it tonight, and we'll almost certainly take two classes. And hopefully we'll get it done within the next two or three classes to get the whole thing done with Achaz. It will then move into Chizkiyahu, his son, and that is even more complex. And Chizkiyahu himself is going to have several classes devoted to him, as I said, Sanherib. And around this time, between Achaz and Chizkiyahu, the 10 tribes are going to be taken into Galus. So all of this is going to be going on. And we're going to have to weave it all together, and as you know, that gets complicated. So we're going to try our best to get as much as we can done in the next few weeks before Pesach, and hopefully we'll be able to at least pause in the story. We will not get it all done before Pesach. There's way too much. We're talking many classes to get all of this covered. Okay. Perek Tzayin, chapter 16. Bishnas Shvasrei Shana Lefekach Ben Rimal Yohu Lefekach Ben Rimal Yohu. In the 17th year of Pekach Ben Rimal Yohu, the king of Yisrael, of the northern kingdom, Malach Achaz Ben Yosam Melech Yehuda, Achaz, the son of Yosam, became king over Yehuda. He became king over Yehuda. Ben Esrim Shana Achaz B'Malcho, he was 20 years old when he became king. V'sheish Esrei Shana Malach B'Yushalayim, he ruled for 16 years. V'lo Asa Hayashar B'nei Hashem Elokav K'David Aviv, he did not do what was straight in the eyes of Hashem his God, like David his father, meaning like David his ancestor. He did not follow in David's ways. But that's an understatement. V'yelech B'derech Malachi Yisrael, he actually went in the ways of the kings of Yisrael. So let me pause here and point out to you that the Navi doesn't usually understate the case. To say in the previous Pasuk that he did not go in the ways of David, that sounds like, you know, he wasn't a huge tzaddik. But then to say he went in the ways of the kings of Yisrael, that means that he was a Rasha, which he was. So it appears that it was a process. He started off by not following in the ways of David HaMelech, and then he spiraled down and ended up following the Malchei Yisrael. V'gamis bin Nohev Yerboish, and also his son, he put through fire, meaning he worshipped the Molech. As you know, in the Torah speaks about the Isser of putting one's child through fire. The Moloch itself, which is an Avodah Zarah, there are, in the Gemara, it's unclear. It doesn't seem like every way of worshipping the Moloch meant that the child was killed, because it could be just passing the child between two fires. But there certainly was child sacrifice going on in Avodah Zarah. It was a way of showing one's devotion to the Avodah Zarah, to give one's child over to be slaughtered for the Avodah Zarah. And here, Achaz attempted to do this with his son. Who is his son? His son is Chizkiyahu, the king Chizkiyahu. So the Gemara tells us that Achaz attempted to slaughter his son, to put him through fire, to burn him for the Avodah Zarah. That's what he attempted to do. Chizkiyahu's mother saved him. The Gemara tells us that she got a hold of some sort of fire retardant material or oil or something like that, and it was smeared it on him, and it protected him from the fire. But Chizkiyahu, there was an attempt to kill him through fire. Now this is important to know that about Chizkiyahu when we get to him. We're going to have to repeat this when we talk about Chizkiyahu, that as a child, he was nearly killed by his own father.
Do we have a name for the mother?
We do not have a name for the mother. At least I don't know her name. Kisavos ha-goyim, like the abominations of the nations, Ashahorish Hashem Osam B'nei Yisrael, that Hashem had destroyed them in front of the B'nei Yisrael. Here, Achaz goes back to the ways of those nations. Vayizabeach, vayikater babamos, v'alagivaos, and he slaughtered animals, and he burned animals on the bamos, on altars, and on the hills. V'sachas kaleitz ra'anan, and under all the beautiful trees, which is a form of Avodah Zarah. So Achaz was not behaving. As a result, Az Yaliritzin Melech Aram Ufekach Ben Remaliyahu Melech Yisrael Yishayin LaMelchama. So then Ritzin, the king of Aram, and Aram, remember, has been the nation that has been constantly smacking the Jewish people for the past several decades. Every time they do something wrong, northern and southern kingdoms, they are attacked by Aram. This is ever since the days of Elisha that this has been happening. And so he came along with Pekach ben Remaliyahu, who was the king of the northern kingdom of Yisrael. They formed an alliance, an unholy alliance, and they came to attack. They came to Yerushalayim al-Milchama. They came to Yerushalayim for war. Vayatsuru al-Achaz, and they laid siege to Achaz. However, v'lo yachlu lehilachem, they were unable to wage war, which means they did lay siege to Yerushalayim, but they were unable to conquer Yerushalayim. Here we are not given the details of why they were unable to conquer Yerushalayim and what's going on in Yerushalayim at this time, but but they were unable to. They did try. We will see that Achaz was terrified of this alliance, because each of them, both Pekach ben Remaliyahu, the king of Yisrael, and Ritzin, the king of Aram, each independently had attacked Achaz and Yehuda and dealt Achaz and Yehuda a terrible defeat earlier, independently. Now they came together. This happens in the latter part of Achaz's reign. Here in Malachim, we skipped a bunch of Achaz's reign till this battle here. And in this battle, even though the two of them independently had already defeated Achaz, but when they joined as an alliance, they were unable to defeat Achaz. They were unable to take Yerushalayim. But however, they still were able to conquer a lot of the country. Ba'isahi, at that time, Heshiv Ritzin Melech Aram es Elas La'Aram. Ritzin, the king of Aram, returned the city of Elas to Aram. Actually, I believe it's a province of Elas to Aram, meaning it was an area that had been taken over by Yehuda. Now he restored it to Aram. Vayinashelas Hayudim Me Elos, and he eradicated the Jews from Elos. He got rid of them. Va'adomim Bo'u Elas, and Adomim, that would be from Esav, came to Elas. Vayesh Fusham, they dwell there ad hayom hazeh, until today. Vayishlach Achaz Malach. Okay, so now Achaz is terrified. He doesn't know what to do. So Achaz seeks help. And now this what's about to happen has recurred in Jewish history several times. It always backfires. Ahaz pleaded for help from a foreign power. That foreign power is going to end up being the real enemy. Remember, the Jewish people towards the end of the second Beis HaMikdash actually invited in the Romans to help with the civil war.
Right.
And that gave the Romans the foothold they were looking for to finally defeat the Jewish people.
Yes, it's bracketed here and repeated twice.
What?
The Arumim.
The word is Adomim. It's written Aromim, and it's pronounced Adomim.
That's just why it's there.
Yeah. Vayishlach Malachim el Tiglas Pileser Melech Ashur Lamor. So Achaz sent messengers to Tiglas Pileser, the king of Ashur, saying, Tiglas Pileser is Sancherib. Sancherib has many names. When we have a separate shir about Sancherev, perhaps we'll discuss his names, if I can really get a handle on the names. There's a lot of names, and they're not easy names to pronounce. So if I can get a handle on the names, then we will discuss the names, but he has a lot of names. So one of them is Tiglath-Pileser. So he sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, the king of Ashur, saying, Avdecha uvincha ani, I am your servant, I am your son. What does that sound like?
But you would plead to God. I mean, you should have pleaded to God that way.
How about Avinu Malkenu?
Right.
Our father, our king?
Right.
He says, I am your servant, I am your son. Says to Tiglath-Pileser. Alei vahushieni, come up and save me. Mikaf melech Aram, mikaf melech Yisrael, from the hands of the king of Aram and the king of Israel. Hakomim alai, that are rising up against me. So this was a bad mistake on the part of Achaz. Vayikach Achaz es hakesef es hazav animtza beis Hashem. Achaz took the silver and the gold that was found in the house of Hashem, uva otzros beis hamelech, and in the treasure houses of the king. Vayishlach lemelech Ashur shochad, and he sent it to the king of Ashur as a bribe to help him out against these two foreign powers. Vayishmaelov melech Ashur, and the king of Ashur listened to him. So Melech Ashur did do something. Vayal Melech Ashur el Damesek. The king of Ashur went up to Damesek, that would be Damascus. Vayispiseha, and he conquered it. Vayagleha Kira, and he took the people that were there and he sent them into exile to Kira. Probably to Kir, it's probably the name of the place. Ves, let me check that one second. And he sent them. No, it could be it's Kira. No, Kir. It is Kira. She says it's Kir. To Kir. Ves Ritzin Hemis, and he killed Ritzin. He killed Ritzin, the king of Aram. So that sounds good. He helped Achaz, but the truth is, as we'll see in Divrei Hayamim, Sanherim's goal over there was simply to conquer Aram. He wasn't interested in helping Achaz. It was a common enemy, and Sancher was looking to take further control of the known world, which he does systematically, and Aram had been the strong power of the world until then, and now Sancherev, the king of Ashur of Assyria, wants to assert his power. So he does conquer Damascus, sends them into Golus, and kills Ritzin. So Achaz, and he's grateful. So he goes to greet Tiglath-Pileser, the king of Ashur, in Damascus. And he sees the altar that's in Damascus. This is an altar, of course, for Avodah Zarah. So the king Achaz sent a message to Uriah HaKohen, Estumus HaMizbeach, with the image of the Mizbeach, Vest Havniso, and the way it was built, L'chol Maaseu, in all of its ways. Meaning he sent him detailed instructions for what this Mizbeach that he sees in Damascus, what it looks like and how it's built. Vayiven Uriah HaKohen es HaMizbeach. So Uriah the Kohen built the same Mizbeach, Kecholash HaShalach HaMelech HaChaz mi Damesek, exactly as the king Achaz sent from Damascus, Kena so Uriah HaKohen, Uriah HaKohen did the same thing, Ad Bo HaMelech Achaz mi Damascus, before the king Achaz came back from Damascus. So by the time he gets back to Yerushalayim, he's got a replica of the Avodah Zarah Mizbeach that was in Damascus. Where was this Mizbeach? In the Beis HaMikdash. Vayavo HaMelech mi Damascus, the king came from Damascus, Vayar HaMelech es HaMizbeach, he saw the Mizbeach, Vayikrav HaMelech al HaMizbeach, so the king came close to the Mizbeach, Vayal Olav, and he went up on it, Vayakteres Ola Soves Minchaso, and he burned his Ola, his carbon Ola, and his Mincha, his meal offering, Vayaseches Nisko, and he poured his libations, Vayizrog Es Dama Shalamim HaShalo al HaMizbeach, and he threw the blood of his Shlamim, of his peace offering, on the Mizbeach. And the copper mizbeach that was before Hashem, vayakrev me'ez pnei habayis, he moved it from the front of the Beis HaMikdash, mibein ha-mizbeach u'mibein Beis Hashem, between the mizbeach and between the house of Hashem, vayiten oso al yerach ha-mizbeach tzafon, and he put it on the northern side of the mizbeach. Now this pasuk is confusing. It sounds like he moved the real mizbeach to make room for his Mizbeach. But as Rashi points out, that's impossible because the real Mizbeach was made of stone. It was not made of copper. And the real Mizbeach, you couldn't move it. You could break it. You'd have to smash it. But it was not a movable item. You couldn't just move it. Later on, Menashe, who was also an evil king, will break the Mizbeach. But here, that doesn't happen. Therefore, Rashi explains, just put the picture on the board. This is going to be a crude picture, but it will give you the basic idea. As you know, Hashem blessed me with his excellent artistic skills. So,
other gifts.
Right. The Beis HaMikdash goes east to west, as you know. Meaning you come in from the east side towards the west. You're going to, when you're in the Beis HaMikdash, you dive in towards the west, because the west side is where the Kodesh HaKadoshim is. Now, the actual structure of the Beis HaMikdash, meaning where there's a building with a roof, was only the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kodesh. Those parts had walls and a roof. It was actual building. So, we'll make it, okay, a little bit of a something like that. And we'll put that there and that there. So this is going to be the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This is the Kodesh. This is the Ulam, which is the entranceway into the Beis HaMikdash. That's the part that has a roof. There was a large area which was walled, which was the courtyard. Of course, the western wall, the kosa that we have today, is this wall of the courtyard over here. That's the part that we have today. And the real Mizbeach, the stone Mizbeach, was out here. It was towards the south. Here, we'll put the directions over here. This is west. So this down here is south. Up here is north. Okay, get the idea? And this way is east. So towards the south side in the courtyard was the large stone Mizbeach with the ramp. That's where it was. There is a machlokas exactly how far south, how far north it was. That is a general machlokas exactly. But generally, that's about where it was. So when it says that he moved something, even though it says he moved a copper Mizbeach, Rashi points out it does not mean the Mizbeach. It means he moved the copper utensils that are associated with the Mizbeach. What specifically is the copper utensil that's associated with the Mizbeach that was between the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash itself? There was, over here, somewhere in here, I'll just draw it over here, you had the kiyar, which was the basin, the sink with which the Kohanim washed. That was in the way, because he wanted to put his Mizbeach between the real Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash. So he moved the Kiyar to the north side. Right now it's on the west side of the Mizbeach towards the Beis HaMikdash, he moved it to the north side, so that it was now on the other side of the Mizbeach over here, and now he was able to put his Mizbeach between the real Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash. That's how Rashi explains this pasuk, because, as I said, it can't mean that he moved the altar, that it just wasn't feasible. It's a stone structure that would have to be broken in order to be moved. So that's what he did. Much can be said about the symbolism of the kiar and what that means to move it, but let's first complete what we can over here. So that's what he did. Pasuk Tezva, verse 15. Vayitzaveh Hamelech Achaz. So the king Achaz commanded as Uriah HaKohen Lemar, Uriah the Kohen saying, Ala Mizbeach HaGadol, on the big Mizbeach, that's the real Mizbeach, Hakteres Olas HaBoker Ves Minchas HaErev, you should still continue to offer the Ola of the morning, that's the Karban Tomid, and the Minchas HaErev, which is the mincha that's brought in the evening, ve'es olas hamelech, ve'es minchaso, and the ola of the king and his mincha, ve'es olas kol am ha'aretz, and the ola, the carbon of all of the people, u'minchaso v'niskehem, and their meal offerings and their libations, v'chol dam ola, v'chol dam zevach olav tizrok, and all the blood of carbonos ola, and the blood of zevach, of other carbonos, you should throw it on the regular mizbeach. So don't replace the real Mizbeach with my Mizbeach. U'mizbach ha'nechoshes, this new copper Mizbeach, ye'li levaker, will be for me to visit occasionally. I'm going to use it occasionally. So, I just want to make sure I got that right. Just one second. It occurs to me now. Yeah, okay. And then that I'll visit occasionally. It'll be mine. It is my special Mizbeach. Vayas Uriah HaKohen kechol asher tziva HaMelech Achaz. So Uriah HaKohen did everything that the King Achaz commanded. Okay, so far his contacting Sancheriv for help has been disastrous, in that Sancheriv did help him, but he picked up a new Avodah Zarah. And he didn't just bring it back with him, he actually had it built in the Beis HaMikdash. So we've gone from bad to worse. Yud Zayin 17, Vayekatzeitz HaMelech Achaz es Hamis Giros HaMechonos. The King Achaz cut down the Misgiros HaMechonos. The Mechonos were the movable utensils of the Beis HaMikdash. If you'll recall a while ago when we went through Shlomo HaMelech's building the Beis HaMikdash, this was the mechonos. They were very hard to figure out the psukim, how each thing meant what was being built. So here he took them apart. They were valuable. He took them apart. Vayasar me'aleihem es hakiyor ves hayam horid, and he took off of them the basin, because each of these things had a basin, and remember, there was a large mikvah called the yam that was on top of 12 bakar, 12 oxen that were made of copper. So ves hayam horid me'al bakar anachoshes asher tachteha, he took down that yam, that large mikvah, from on top of the 12 copper cattle that were under it. Vayitin osal martzefes avonim, and he put it on a foundation of stone. So what he's doing is he's systematically removing many of the valuables from the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'es ve'es musach Hashabas Asher Banu Vabayis, and also the covering that they had put up for Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is largely outside, so what they had done is they'd put up like an awning with a fancy covering for people on Shabbos, that they could sit in the area. Not, you can't sit in the Beis HaMikdash, but you could be under there for shade. So he also took that down because it was valuable. And what he's doing is he's hiding all of it. And the way of the king on the outside, he sav beis Hashem, he moved it, he rerouted it to the house of Hashem, mipnei melech Ashur, because of the king of Ashur. You see, once the Sanherib killed Ritzin and conquered Aram, he made it clear he had no interest in helping Ahaz, and if anything, his plans were to come and conquer Yerushalayim as well. Ahaz got scared, hid the valuables of the Beis HaMikdash, and ever since Shlomo HaMelech had built the palace near the Beis HaMikdash, there was a special path that was special for the king to come from his palace to the Beis HaMikdash. Special royal stretch of land, right, passage. He rerouted it because he wanted it to be a secret passage, so that if he was being chased by Sanherib, he could escape. So he rerouted it and made a new one that was somehow, it could have been on the ground, I'm not sure exactly, but it was in a way that it wasn't evident, you couldn't see it. And the rest of what Achaz did, they're written on the chronicles of the kings of Yehuda. Achaz died, Vayikaver Imavasav Bir David, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David, Vayimlach Chizkiyo Veno Tachtav, and Chizkiyo's son ruled in his stead. So, in Malachim, the story of Achaz is limited to, we know he did Averos, we know that Ritzin, the king of Aram, and Pekach ben Ramayo, the king of Yisrael, ganged up against him, but could not beat him, and we know that he reached out to Sanherib for help. Sanherib did kill Ritzin, but then there is fear, and Achaz copies his Avodah Zarah, and now there is fear that Achaz has of Sanherib and takes steps to both protect the valuables of Yerushalayim and himself. That's what we have in Malachim. In Divrei Hayamim,
it looks like he died very young then, but yeah.
He was 36 years old. He became king at 20, he lived for 16 years. He ruled for 16 years, right. In Divrei Hayamim, the parak that deals with this is in Divrei Hayamim Beis, parak Chav Ches 28. So it tells us the same thing. He was 20 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 16 years, and he did not do what was straight in the eyes of Hashem. And he went the ways of the Malchi Yisrael, and it says all the bad things that he did.
So, yeah. If he was so bad, why? I mean, the other kings, when they were bad, they didn't get to be buried in the city of David.
Yeah.
So why is he buried there? That bothers me.
Yeah, that's a good question. In Divrei Hayamim, it says it a little differently. Let's get up to that, but let's see. So the pasuk here, pasuk Cain, verse 5, it says, "Vayitneu Hashem Elokav biad Melech Aram." First, now this part of the story is not told to Malachim. Before the king of Aram and the king of Yisrael ganged up against him, Hashem punished Achaz by giving him over to the king of Aram by himself. Vayakuvo, they struck against him. Vayishbu mimenu shivya gedola, they conquered a large amount of captives from Yehuda. Vayavu darmasek, they brought them to Damasek. Vegam biyad melech Yisrael nitan, he was also given over in the hands of Yisrael. Vayach boma kagidola, and he also got struck badly by Yisrael. So this was alluded to in Malachim, but was not told. In Divrei Hayamim it says that first the king of Aram attacked and defeated Achaz and took a lot of captives, and then the king of Yisrael attacked and defeated Achaz and struck him very badly. Now listen to this. Vayarog Pekach ben Remalyo b'Yehuda mea ve'esrim elef b'yom echad. The Pekach ben Remalyo, the king of Yisrael, killed in Yehuda on one day 120,000. Hakol b'nei chayo, all of them soldiers. Be'ozvam es Hashem elokei avasam, because they forsook Hashem the God of their fathers. Since they left Hashem, they were punished very badly. Now you can ask, and it would be a good question, that the Malchei Yisrael, the northern kingdom, wasn't much better. They were also of the Avodah Zarah. They weren't doing good things. So why do they merit defeating and punishing the southern kingdom? So we're going to talk about this. The Navi here goes on to say that that they killed some of the very powerful warriors of Yehuda. Then it says, Vayishbu v'nei Yisrael me'acheihem, the northern kingdom, Yisrael, took captive from their brothers, from the southern kingdom, Masayim Elef, 200,000 people.
Wow.
They took 200,000 captives, Noshim, Bonim, Ubanos, women, sons, daughters, Vegam Shalol Rav, Bazazu Mehem, they took a lot of spoils, Vayavu Esa Shalol Shomron, they brought all the spoils to Shomron. Okay, so there was they really beat them badly, they killed a lot of people, and they took a lot of captives. Now here we have an interesting interlude. Vishamaya Navi La Hashem. There in Shomron there was a Navi La Hashem, a real Navi, not a fake Navi, not a Navarazar Navi. Oded Shmo, his name was Oded. Vayetze lifnei atzava haba l'shomron. He went out in front of the army that was coming to Shomron. Vayomer lahem, and he said to them, Hinei b'chamas Hashem Elokei Avoseichem al Yehuda nesanam b'yadchem. Behold, because of Hashem's anger, Hashem, the God of your father's anger, on Yehuda, he gave over Yehuda into your hands. Vatar guvam bezaf, you killed them with anger. Ad shamayim higia, went all the way up to heaven. So the reason why you were able to defeat Yehuda was not because you're tzaddikim. It's because they were Rishayim. V'atav v'nei Yehuda b'Yerushalayim atem omrim, and now you, the people of the northern kingdom, are saying about the people of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, lichbosh la'avadim v'lishvachos lachem, to take them captive as slaves and maids for you. Halo rak atem imachem ashamos la'Hashem elokeichem. But you also have sins to Hashem your God. Meaning, you're not much better. You think that you have the right to take them as captives? What, you think that you have reason to be more righteous than they are? V'ata shimoni, now listen to me. V'ashivu ashivyu asher shivisem me'acheichem, return the captives that you took from your brothers. Ki charon af Hashem aleichem, because Hashem's anger is upon you as well. So the Navi tells us an amazing thing. So the heads of the Bnei Ephraim of the northern kingdom got up, and it lists them: Azar Yahu ben Yehochanan, Berech Yahu ben Mishilemos, V'Chizkiyahu ben Shalum, V'Amasa ben Chadloi. And what do? And they went to the Alabai Minatzava, they went to the army. Vayomalem, they sent him, Lo Saviu es Hashiv Yahaino, do not bring the captives here. Ki Lashmas Hashem Aleinu Atem Omrim, Lahosiv Al Chato Sinu Val Hashmaseinu, because you want to add more sins to our sins. Ki Rabba Hashmalano, we already have a lot of sins, we don't need more sins. Vacharon Af Al Yisrael, Hashem's anger is against Israel. So the army listened. Vayazov es Hechalutz es Hashiv Yahaino es Habiza, they left the captives and the spoils. They left it in front of the governors, the officers, and the whole nation. They didn't take, they took all the captives and all of the booty, and they gave it over to the officers to decide what to do. The soldiers didn't take anything, which is an amazing thing. Because soldiers, they just went to war, they came back with all this stuff. It's very difficult to let go of all that. And they did, they let go of it. So what happened? Vayakumu anashim asher nikvu v'shemos, these people we just mentioned, that were mentioned by name. Vayachaziku v'ashivya, they strengthened the captives. V'chol ma'arumehem hilbishu min ha'shalol, all those who didn't have clothing, they gave clothing from the spoils. Vayabishum, they gave them clothing. Vayanilum, they gave them shoes. Vayachilum, they gave them to eat. Vayashkum, they gave them to drink. Vayisuchum, they anointed them with oil. Vayinalum bachamorim lechol koshel, and they led them on donkeys for all those who couldn't walk. Vayivyum yirecho iratmarim etzalachem, they brought them to Yerecho, the iratmarim, to their brothers, which was on the border going into Yehuda. Vayashuvu Shomron, and they went back to Shomron. It's an amazing thing. amazing thing that they gave up over here, all the 200,000 captives, and they gave it all up with all the booty, and they let them go back. Rashi tells us.
I like this Odad.
Yeah, Odid Anavi. Odid Anavi he's not so well known, but he's obviously a chashuv person. Rashi tells us in Shoftim, in Parsha Shoftim, when the Torah tells us about going to war. So the Torah says that the Kohen says to the people. This is in Perek Chav, chapter 20, Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. V'amar aleim Shema Yisrael. Listen, atem krevim hayom la'melchama al oyveichem. You are going to war today against your enemies. So Rashi here says, al oyveichem, against your enemies. Ein elu acheichem. These are not your brothers. Shim tiplu biyadam. If you fall into their hands, einam merachem aleichem. They're not going to have mercy on you. Einzu kimelchemes Yehuda im Yisrael. This is not like the war with Yehuda and Yisrael. Shenemer lahalon, that it says over there in Divrei Yomim, the pasuk we just read, Vayakumu anashim, vayan ilum, vayachilum, vayashkum, vayaskum, vayinalum, etc., etc. They took care of them and they brought them, they gave them to eat and drink and clothing, etc. Ela aloyveichem atem holchem. You're going against your enemies. Lefikach, therefore, hischaz kula melchama, be strong in war. If you're not fighting your brothers, it's terrible to fight your brother. But your brothers are going to have mercy on you. Here you're going against your enemies. That's Rashi brings this pasuk we just read. He brings it in Shoftim to contrast the difference between a war between Yehuda and Yisrael, which is a terrible thing, but nevertheless, the treatment of the captives is completely different. So Odeid successfully gets them to do better. Now, last time we discussed Malachim, which was 2 times ago, we mentioned that we are in the final years of Malchus Yisrael, the Northern Kingdom. They are falling apart, and they're going to be taken into Golus, and the we're towards the end. This is a positive that we find in the Northern Kingdom. Odeid says to them, we're not better than they are. And they listen, which means the people recognize that they're not doing so well, that they have a lot of averos. They recognize that. That's always the first step. People who don't even know they're doing averos, right? They're lost. People who recognize that they're doing something wrong, at least now we can talk about tshuva. We're going to find, and we're not going to discuss this tonight, but we're going to find that prior to the 10 tribes going into Golus, there is actually some improvement. Not they don't become tzaddikim, but there is improvement amongst the 10 tribes. The Gemara asks it as a question. If there is improvement, why do they now go into Golus? You would have expected they would go into Golus when they're at the bottom of the bottom. How come when there's improvement, they go to Golus? We'll discuss that when we get to them going into Golus. But here you already see some of the improvement. That they're willing to listen to the Navi, to Odeid, to the Navi Hashem, to give up what they took. And what's really telling is why they listened. His argument wasn't something like, you know, this is not good foreign policy, right? His argument was, we're all a bunch of sinners, and we're not better than they are, so what are you doing? And they accepted that. That's telling. So, well, we'll have to repeat this when we talk about them going into Golus and why it happens when there's an upswing rather than when they're on the way down.
Did Odeid have any other prophecies? Because I don't remember a book of Odeid.
Yeah, there's no book of Odeid. I'm trying to remember if he is mentioned elsewhere. I cannot, right in the back of my mind, I'm remembering something from Odeid, but I cannot remember offhand. So we'll see. If he is mentioned again, we're going to come across it.
This is different than the Odad and Mildad from before. It's not.
Yeah,
different.
Yeah, no, that's
totally different.
Yeah.
I was trying to think. Damascus was part of Aram or
Ashur. It started as Aram, and then Ashur conquered it.
Okay, so at this point, like when he visits it, still part of Aram, it's Aram.
Well.
Because he said he went up there and saw the Mizbeach.
That was when Sancheriv had already taken it over.
Oh. All right.
Sancheriv is going to conquer almost the whole world. He won't make it, but he's almost going to conquer. The whole world means, of course, the whole known world. Sennacherib is going to be the one place he's not going to conquer is Yerushalayim. He won't get Yerushalayim. But that's coming up a little while.
Did he do anything to merit
Sennacherib?
Yeah.
No, I mean, he's like Nebuchadnezzar. He was a Rasha. He was, you know.
He was just the right person.
He was the arm, right.
He was the right tool.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Then in Dimra Yamim, it then says how Achaz sent for help from the king of Ashur. And it says how he was attacked also by the Adomim and the Plishtim, and how other places were taken away from him. And Hashem, the pasuk says in pasuk Yates, Ki ichnia Hashem es Yehuda, Hashem humbled Yehuda bavur Achaz melech Yisrael, because of Achaz the king of Israel, because of how many averis he had done. And then it says that Vayavo alav Tilgas Pilneser, that's another way to say his name, that Tilgas Pilneser, and Sennacherib came, Vayatsar lo, and he pained him, Velo Chazako, he didn't really help him. That even though he did kill Ritzin, but then he was really out to get Achaz also. Because Achaz had gone away from Hashem, and therefore Sennacherib comes against him. Let me just see if there's anything else to read from here, because we have one more place we have to talk about. Talks about how he dismantled a lot of things in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay.
Is it thought to be good or bad that he dismantled all these things? That's, and hid them?
It seems to me that was pragmatic. Like he had no choice at that point, but he brought it on himself. Because he invited in Sennacherib, and now he's in trouble.
Okay, what about Uriah? Because he is supposed to be... I mean, they kept saying HaKohen, HaKohen, HaKohen.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but he's actually making something for idol worship.
Yeah,
so,
it doesn't seem like he's righteous, because he's following Achaz. It sounds like he's Achaz's man. Doesn't call him Kohen Gadol. Doesn't call him that.
No, but it kept saying HaKohen,
yeah,
HaKohen,
but he seems
HaKohen,
to have been in charge. Yeah, yeah. Here it says, just in terms of the burial, I just want to make sure we have time for one more thing, but it says here, Vayishkav Achaz im avosav, vayikberuhu va'ir b'Yerushalayim. They buried him in the city in Yerushalayim. Ki lo hevi'uhu l'kivrei malchei Yisrael. He was not brought to the graves of the kings of Israel. So he was buried in the city, but not in the same place as the kings. That's the way it says here. Okay. Now, this, so we have in sequence, we have that Achaz does bad. He is attacked by the king of Aram, and Aram deals him a terrible blow. He's then attacked by the king of Yisrael, who deals him another terrible blow. And then you have the whole thing with Odaed and how they give up the captives. Then the king of Aram and the king of Yisrael make an alliance. This is a number of years later. And they come against Achaz again, but this time together. And Achaz is terrified. That's when he reaches out to Sennacherib and things go downhill. Now, he really should not have reached out to Sennacherib, but even more than that. In Yeshayahu, in Perek Zayin chapter 7, the pasuk tells us, Vayhi bimei Achaz ben Yosam ben Uziyahu melech Yehuda. It was in the days of Achaz, the son of Yosam, the son of Uziyahu, the king of Yehuda. Allah Ritzin melech Aram ufekach ben Remaliyahu melech Yisrael Yerushalayim. Ritzin and Pekach get together against Yerushalayim. La milchama aleil to wage war. V'lo yachol lilachem aleil. They were unable to conquer it. So this is the story that we're told in Malachim and also in Divrei Hayamim. Vayugad leveis David lemar, was told to the house of David, to Achaz, saying, Nacha Aram al Ephraim. Aram and Ephraim have made an alliance. Ephraim is the northern kingdom, and Aram. Vayana levavo levavamo, kinoa atseyami pe ruach, and his heart trembled. He was terrified of what was going on. So, Hashem says to Yeshayahu, Tsei noli kras Achaz, go out to Achaz. I'm skipping a little bit. And you should say to him, He shomer v'ashkeit, calm down. Al tira, don't be afraid. Ulevavcha ayirach, and your heart should not be should not melt. Mishnei zanvos ha'udi moha sheni moela, from these two fiery, these, I don't know, fire brands, I think is the right word for it. Bachariyah, fritzin varom ven ramal yahu, what they're trying to do. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about these two people. Yan kiyan salecha ram ra'a, Ephraim ben Ramal Yahu Leimor, because they are trying, the two of them, Ephraim and Aram, have made an alliance and they come up with a plan, and they said the following: Nalev Yehuda Nikitzana, we will go up to Yehuda and we will conquer it. Vinav Kiana Ilena, we will annex it. Vinamlich Melech Besocha, we'll put our own king there, Es Ben Toval. Komar Hashem Lokim, Lo Sakum Velosia, that will not happen. Hashem tells Achaz, through the Navi Yeshayahu, don't be afraid. They're not going to be able to conquer you. So when we learned in Malachim that they sieged Jerusalem but weren't able to conquer it, we weren't told why. The why is because Hashem told Yeshayahu to tell him it's not going to happen. Now, if you're Achaz, I shouldn't say it. If a person, you want to be honest, a person is Achaz, and he's a Rasha, but the Navi Yeshayahu comes to him and tells him, don't be afraid, it's not going to happen. They're not going to hurt you.
I'm not going to repent because I think I'm okay.
Okay. So, what does Achaz do? He sends for help to Sancheriv.
He doesn't trust Hashem's
what?
Word.
Oh, yeah.
Right. He was given a word, the word of the Navi, nothing is going to happen. And he's still sent to Sancheriv. And that was the beginning of the end. Bringing in Sancher was terrible. That ruined him. But it's even more than that. The Navi here goes on to say, Vayosef Hashem daber al Achaz lemar. Hashem continued to speak to Achaz. He didn't speak to Achaz. He spoke to Yeshayahu. He didn't speak to Achaz. Sha'al l'cha'os mim Hashem alokecha. Ask for a sign. Ha'amek sha'Allah. Ask for a sign from the depths, which Rashi says, ask me to bring somebody back to life. Oh, hagbei alamalo, or ask something very high up. Maybe if you want me to make a sign in the heavens, ask me to make a sign to prove that this nevuah is going to come true. Vayomer Achaz, lo eshal v'lo anases Hashem. I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to test Hashem. Sounds like a good thing, right? I'm not going to test Hashem. Rashi says, ein ritzoni sheyiskadesh shmo al yadi. I don't want to make a kiddush Hashem. I don't want Hashem's name to be sanctified through me. So I'm not going to ask for a sign. So then Yeshayahu goes on and he says, okay, you don't want to give a sign, you don't want to sanctify Hashem's name, but I'm going to tell you a sign. Now, we don't have time tonight to discuss the sign, and really, this belongs, the next part of it really belongs in Sefer Yeshayah, but, I will tell you the famous, or maybe the infamous, pasuk that he says to him in Perek Zion, chapter 7, pasuk Yudal, verse 14. Lachein yitein Hashem hu lachem os. Therefore, Hashem will give you a sign. Hine ha'alma hara violedes bein. The young woman will become pregnant and give birth to a son. Vikaras shemo Immanuel. You will name him Immanuel. Chema udvash yochel, he will eat. Chema is butter, right? Udvash and honey, yochel, he will eat. I think it means cream and honey. He will eat. Ledaito maos bara uvachor batov, he will despise evil and he will choose good. Ki beterem yeda hanar maos bara uvachor batov, before he knows how to despise evil and to choose good, teyazevo adama shata katz mipnei shnei melachea, these two kings will leave the country. You will not be in trouble. Hashem will bring upon you days, etc. He tells how things are going to eventually improve in Yerushalayim. So this pasuk that I read to you is the one of the psukim that, unfortunately, those who misread Tanakh try to bring false proof to their religion. Right. This is the famous pasuk, Hinei ha'alma ha'ravi oledes bein, the alma will become pregnant and give birth to a son. So they translate the word Alma to mean the virgin. Mm-hmm. That's what they translate it to mean. That is a mistranslation. The word Alma doesn't mean a virgin. It means a young woman. That's what it means. It means a young woman. But which could be a virgin, but that's not, we all know, anybody who knows Hebrew knows that the real word for a virgin is Besula. That's the word for a virgin. Alma does not mean that. Alma means a young girl. So a young woman, whatever it is. But this is where they try to bring from here. That's one of the...
Is Emmanuel related to Hizkiyahu, or we don't...
So there's a discussion... There's a discussion of which woman is Yeshayahu talking about, and who is Emmanuel. Does he mean Achaz's wife, and therefore the son is Hizkiyahu? Rashi says it can't be, because Hizkiyahu was already born before this story. This is towards the end of Achaz's reign, and Hizkiyahu is already almost an adult at this point. And therefore, Rashi explains it really means Yeshayahu's wife. It's referring to Yeshayahu's wife, that she will have a son. So, as I said, this is really, at this point, is really a discussion in Sefer Yeshayahu, which Bez Hashem one day will do. But for our purposes, the main thing over here is that he says to him, ask for a sign. Like, you don't have to take my word for it. Ask for a sign. He won't do it. Hashem says, fine, I'll make the sign. And still he reaches out to Sancheriv. And that does him in. That does him in, and it causes all kinds of problems. The 10 tribes are going to go to Golas. It's just a whole terrible thing with Sancheriv is going to come because of this. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.